Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A fast-moving wildfire raging out of control in Southern California. Thousands forced to flee Ventura County. ABC's Mola Lenghi is there.
Dry conditions and those intense Santa Ana winds fueling the fire. Wind gusts getting up to 80 miles per hour. Fire officials hoping that slightly lighter winds today may help them get the upper hand. But make no mistake, the winds remain a concern for the fire crews on the ground.
14,000 acres have burned so far in Ventura County. President-elect Donald Trump working on his transition for another term in the White House. He has been meeting with advisors on what the next Trump administration might look like. Robert F. Kennedy and Elon Musk both seen as likely candidates to play key roles. President Joe Biden preparing to address the nation shortly as the Democrats work to rebuild certain aspects of the party following Kamala Harris's loss on Tuesday. And the Federal Reserve is expected to cut a key interest rate by another quarter point this afternoon. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has officially won a third term in Washington. Senator Baldwin declared victory early Wednesday while results showed she had a lead of less than 1%, which could lead to a recount. After the race was called by the Associated Press, Republican challenger Eric Hovde did not concede or say if he would be requesting a recount within the 1% margin. In narrowly winning re-election, Senator Baldwin kept a critical Senate seat for Democrats while former President Trump won the state. Wisconsin residents voted to pass a constitutional amendment stating that only United States citizens can vote in elections. The amendment slightly changes the language used in current law, making it only a United States citizen instead of every United States citizen. Republicans across the country have pushed similar measures to prevent non-citizens from voting, which is already illegal. A handful of municipalities across the country allow non-citizens to vote in some local elections, like a school board. None are in Wisconsin. A Superior man has been arrested in connection to multiple attempted carjackings, one of which involved a young child. According to law enforcement authorities, 37-year-old Michael Thompson is accused of attacking the owner of a car in the Tower Avenue and North 28th Street area last week and trying to take their keys with their child in the car. Officials say two bystanders saw the incident and stepped in until police arrived. Thompson was treated for injuries he sustained during the incident and was taken to jail. He's due in court next week. The city of Ashland will finally receive state funding for a boat launch project after applying for the program multiple times. After the city and other municipalities' applications were rejected for the program, Governor Tony Evers sued lawmakers to force the release of the funding. When the state Supreme Court ruled efforts to block the conservation projects were unconstitutional, Ashland applied again and received about $1 million from the Department of Natural Resources to construct an ADA-compliant deepwater boat launch at Crerar Park. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz. Is there a growing frustration? Chris Middleton is still not ready to play following ankle surgery this summer. Head coach Doc Rivers.
No. I mean, obviously we want Chris to play, but Chris is doing all the work. He's working his butt off. That's all. You know, as a coach, that's all you can ask for. So there's no frustration like in him. And there's nothing you can do about it.
College hoops, the Badgers men's team at home tonight at the Kohl Center against the Montana State Bobcats. NFL, the Packers had the bye week. The coaching staff reviewing the loss to the Lions. Matt LaFleur frustrated. He had to use up some timeouts early in that game.
There were a couple situations, like I was upset that I had to burn a timeout on a short yardage call that obviously got stuffed. Credit to Detroit. They did a few things that kind of kept us a little bit off balance. To me, it always starts with the plan and trusting your plan. And so you got to make sure your plan is a better plan.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A little patchy fog or some low clouds this morning, but we will clear out. It'll be mostly sunny later this morning into this afternoon with a high in the low 50s today. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid 30s. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir. Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts. that's a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk! Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, yeah. But I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you,
bye.
Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles, who we'll talk movies with, and he'll help make our popcorn pick of the week. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Like a small boat. Sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't see.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us, Sandy and I, kind of covering some things, and we began the show talking about what Democrats need to do to rebrand themselves and some other things. But our phone lines are full, as always, and so we're going to go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Ann. Good morning to you, Ann. Thank you very much for calling. You say what?
Hi. I'm a retired educator. And there's always a consequence to what you do in life. And these people that voted for Trump are going to have a consequence, and that's called Project 2025. So if CJ is acting like people are calling him names and saying all these hateful things to him, when that's all the Trumpism is hate, they wear shirts that say, "Our government sucks." Well, geez, now maybe some of us Democrats can borrow those shirts from them. I just get so tired of it because they're going to get exactly what they wanted, their tariffs, racialness, slurs, all the stuff that they promoted, and all these weak white women that couldn't stand up for us. I hope they get exactly what they voted for. They have daughters. Shame on them. That's just the way I feel.
And where are you from?
I'm from Chippewa Falls.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what? Brendan? All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Thanks for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. I've been on hold for 58 minutes. I'm excited to talk to you because while you've been telling us Joe Biden's such a great president and Kamala was such a great candidate, there's now 10,000 Korean troops fighting with Russia in Ukraine against Ukraine. So now that Kamala's got all kinds of time on her hands, maybe she can start doing the things that she said she was going to do for the last
Hey, CJ, let me ask you something. So it's Kamala Harris's fault that 10,000 North Korean troops are fighting on the side of Ukraine, Russia. Explain how that happens, and explain how that's her fault. You spewed it. How's it her fault?
Last one in the room with President Biden. Can I finish?
No. Respond to what I just said. No. If you want to continue. Respond to the statement you just made and back that up with facts.
Because she's supporting her president by voting with him, telling him, advising him, yes, she is partially responsible for the 13 soldiers that died in it.
All right. Enough of that. Let's go to Julie from Jackson. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Good morning. I just wanted to tell you guys that, you know, I've enjoyed listening to you, and I actually started listening about 2 years ago because I kind of wanted to see if my mind could be swayed from my lifetime of Republican, you know, backing Republican and what I believed in. And it didn't sway me, but I've enjoyed the conversations we've had. I'm not going to listen anymore because it's just too bad. I can hear the angst in your guys' voices that when Tom called today, I feel really bad for Tom. He just sounded so distraught. And there's so much more in our lives that we have to be thankful for. And I don't know. I just.
Hey, Julie, my response to you would be this. Had Donald Trump lost, you would be having a different refrain. I've listened to you. We appreciate you joining the show. But clearly, you know, your response today is from the perspective of somebody who, you know, clearly, as you stated, is a Republican person. On Sandy and my show, we do something that Republican radio doesn't do, and that's to allow the other side to have a conversation. You know, so when you talk about, you know, how things seem to have, you know, gone from the perspective of those of us on this side of the aisle, I think we do something that conservative radio has never done and will never do, and that's to offer people on the other side an opportunity to have a conversation.
Well, and also, I don't quite understand tuning out because I think the show is about more than politics, hopefully. And while the election season has saddled us with the opportunity and sort of the obligation to talk about it 24/7, that isn't going to be the case going forward. But there's going to be policies to talk about and things to agree with and disagree with. You know, I disagreed with the Biden administration on their Ukrainian policy at the beginning of the and prior to the invasion by Russia into Ukraine, and have continued to be skeptical of our foreign policies. And so we aren't just negative about administrations, whether based on their party label. And, you know, it could be that Donald Trump will propose things that are worthy of applause. But we have to wait and see, right? We have to find out. But there's more for the public to talk about than Donald Trump as president, than simply a critique from a radio show that would take only a negative posture. And so that hasn't been the way we've operated. We didn't operate that way from 2016 to 2020.
Earl, why is it that you think you know how I would act if Trump lost? I actually thought Trump was going to lose.
Well, because, you know, I can only go by what the conversations you and I have had. Okay? And, you know, you clearly stated basically that, you know, we talked about Donald Trump in a negative sense. And you were there to defend him at every turn, which you have a right to. But when we would point things out, it bothered you about it. And so anyway, it's neither here nor there. You know, we thank you very much. We hope that you'll continue to listen. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Yeah, it's a very sad day in America, and I agree with Tom 100% because all of the propaganda that I got at my house, and I'm in a rural area, was from the AFP Action, the Americans for Prosperity. Every filthy ad that I saw nonstop, because I don't have cable, was from the Americans for Prosperity lying about the candidates. And I know they were lying because I've been doing the research. I've been watching for a long time, following Alec, following Walker, following the big money that put a lot of money and lies and propaganda in the state of Wisconsin, got the people in, wrote their laws, and I thought, this is so odd. So then I started checking out other states because there were times when Scott Walker was in office when people didn't even know who wrote the bill. And here they were going down to meetings with Alec. And it's like, whoa, this ain't good. So then I looked up North Carolina. Same thing there. Iowa, Ohio, same thing there. And this is what is running our country. They're letting Trump lead for a while, folks. I hope you pay real good attention to your role model there, the guy who puts his name on the Bible. And I'm saying this honestly because I am not a member of a party. I have never been, and I've been an equal opportunity critic. But I have never seen anything like this in my life. We finally got a little bit of handle on Wisconsin, but it went nationwide. How did it go nationwide? The Green Bay sweep. Woo! Yeah, the Green Bay sweep.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Charles.
Hey, good morning, guys. So a couple of quick points for Gary and Julie. I wonder, Julie, if maybe Tom could be upset because he's a gay man and the bashing against the LGBTQ community throughout this, the Hope running for president has an effect on him as well as other people. So he has probably a right to be upset. For Gary, the whole thing with Hitler didn't come up until it was reported that J.D. Vance, outside of other horrible things he said about Donald Trump, was the one that started the thing saying that he was America's Hitler. And when you guys started off the show talking about the 15 million people that didn't vote, I also wonder if part of that could be, as well as voter suppression, purging people off the rolls, this added that people
became frustrated.
Don't want to see a woman president.
Yes.
In the United States yet. Because I know when Barack Obama won, my mom's aunt, who lives in the South, she's older, and first thing came out of her mouth was, he's a black man. What does he know about being a president? And so I wonder if this whole thing of, well, we can't elect a woman because she can't do the job. Those are just my points for today.
They're great points, Charles. Sandy, you quickly before you mentioned that maybe still in this nation, having a woman, seeing a woman in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do think that the failure of a couple of women candidates who have, you know, who
good
ran,
candidates,
very capable candidates, and the failure of this one in particular surprised me a bit, and I think it might have had to do with an unwillingness on the part of America.
All right, 855-752-4842. Hang on. We'll be right back. Like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. This is my fight song. Take back my life.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process could take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You know, it's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy, who's that music?
That's Peter Gabriel's album, but that was Sting. It was the male singer. Don't Give Up was which was the message I was intending with respect to the song.
You know, I want to say that you and I had a lot of things we wanted to talk about this morning. We haven't been able to get into all of those different things. They were all germane to the election and the outcome. But we're going to do what the callers want us to do, and we're going to stick with the conversation that we're having. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you. You say what?
Good morning, and once again, a really fine show. I was very offended by Gary, who said, "I told you so." We never, ever, ever said that about his party. But I think that that is something we might resurrect in the future. Because if Donald Trump is going to put more money in the pocket, fine, I want to see that. I want to see the wall go up. I want to see the deportation. I want to see everything that he promised. He's better produced in these next 4 years. And if he doesn't, Gary, and I hope you're listening, because then Earl doesn't have to say that because he's a fine gentleman and he would never say that. But I'm not. And I will say, I told you so, Gary. And to see, I'm going to cover you, Earl. And I can't even wrap my mind around the fact that Donald Trump has called every woman every filthy, dirty name in the book. And he has let people call the people of Puerto Rico garbage.
Yes.
And Haitian people are eating cats. And yet he's offended that he called him a fascist and a Nazi. Get over it, Gary. This is, put your big boy pants on and be a man.
Yes. Susan, thank you very much. You're my hero. I love Susan. Welcome back. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. And I enjoyed listening to Susan, who spoke just ahead of me. And, you know, I would like to make a point that I was not going to talk about, but Susan just reminded me. You know, she made the statement about how at the Madison Square Garden rally event, one of the speakers made some very disparaging remarks about Puerto Ricans. And as I was listening to many people on the television, reading news reports about it, as a Black female, I was not offended by it because the spaces that I walk through in my everyday life, I have to deal with those kinds of microaggressions every day. I must do business with people who I know do not approve of me or who do not feel that I belong in the social places that I travel in. And so I would just like to say this particularly to whites who want to point out Trump is a racist. He's a sexist. He's all of those isms. Those of us who are members of that particular group, this is our everyday experience, and we have to conduct transactions with these people. Now, what I called about was the 14 million missing votes in the Kamala Harris campaign. And the Democratic Party, they need to run across tabs and locate some of those people because they could find them who voted this election cycle and who did not vote, and get some answers on why did these people sit out. Now, I know in the Black community, there was what was called the couch movement. There were some people, they could not vote for the Democratic Party, and they really couldn't bring themselves to vote for Trump, so they chose the couch. Were these the couch sitters, or were these people who just did not want to vote? I don't have the answers, but if the party is going to recover, they need to find out why 14 million people walked away. So that's all I have. And you guys,
hey Cassandra, well said, very well said, all of it, Sandy. Yeah,
no, absolutely. I mean, there's got to be lessons learned, evaluation here, and you know. Ultimately, the American political process is about representing the people and what the people are interested in. I mean, it also involves leadership and helping the people understand what they maybe should be interested in. But going out and finding out what the people are thinking and what the people are motivated by or weren't motivated by is a very important part of the democratic process. And the Democrats would be foolhardy if they didn't carry out a heavy duty due diligence to find out what happened.
You know, she was on point with everything she said, as many of our callers have been. So, guys, hang on. 855-752-4842. You know, it's the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Despite a few hiccups, like needing to recount 30,000 ballots in Milwaukee, the Wisconsin Election Commission says Tuesday's election was safe and secure with no major issues reported. On Wednesday, WEC officials reminded residents that the election is technically not over, as the official results still need to be verified and certified through the canvassing process. The numbers residents see now are unofficial results with votes that have been counted but not verified and certified. The deadline for the chairperson to certify the election is December 1st. Tuesday's election saw the highest number of voters in Wisconsin state history. According to the unofficial results, about 3.4 million people cast a ballot in the 2024 presidential race. That's equivalent to about 72.6% of eligible voters in the state, which is also one of the highest voter participation rates in state history. About 30,000 fewer people voted in the Senate race between Senator Tammy Baldwin, who won re-election, and her Republican challenger Eric Hovde. The final official numbers will be released on December 1st. Superior residents voted to approve a referendum allowing the school district to exceed its revenue limits for the next 5 years. The referendum asked Superior residents to pay extra in property taxes for the next 5 years to prevent the district from having to make further cuts. The district has been forced to permanently close the school and lay off over 50 staff members in the last year due to their budget issues. The referendum approves a sliding scale of increases, starting at $2.5 million for the next 2 years and $5.5 million in the final year. The Duluth Police Department is searching for a suspect they say was involved in two violent home invasions in the area. According to law enforcement authorities, the first incident happened on Monday in the Chester Park neighborhood. The second happened on Tuesday in the Congdon neighborhood, just a few miles away. Authorities say they don't have many details about the suspect, except that he is a white man. Duluth Police Chief Mike Sanoa says three people were sent to the hospital with minor injuries after the suspect entered their homes. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. According to Yahoo News, Michael Jackson got into a fight with Tupac Shakur when he came to the defense of Khadijah Jones, daughter of recently deceased music icon Quincy Jones. Sources say Jackson was present when Tupac, who was dating Khadijah, called her the B-word. Jackson, who was like an uncle to Khadijah, had words with Tupac, then the two squared off, and supposedly Jackson got the better of him. It's unclear whether or not it was a dance-off. During an interview on Conan O'Brien's podcast, beloved actor Tom Hanks dropped one of George Carlin's 7 words you can't say on TV. Hanks used the 5th word in the 7-word sequence, well worth a Google, when referring to a critic who panned his new film, Here. Hanks added that the same critic panned his directorial debut years ago, That Thing You Do, and just a few months ago called it a cult classic. Hanks did have a lighthearted tone when he dropped the CS bomb to Conan and said, that's what we signed up for. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A little patchy fog or some low clouds this morning, but we will clear out. It'll be mostly sunny later this morning into this afternoon with a high in the low 50s today. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I'm Sawyer. And I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue to analyze the election that was and look ahead to the weekend to get our minds off of things. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Robert from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Robert. You say what, sir?
Good morning. I just want to make 2 points. One is systems and structures. Donald Trump should have never even been allowed to run in this election. You know, we saw failures at every level of government, from McConnell not letting his members that wanted to impeach him the second time for his activities in January 6th, to Merrick Garland, to Josh Call, to Dana Nessel in Michigan. I mean, the list goes on and on. All these judges that let him delay. This guy should have been in a jail cell, not running for president. But putting that aside, if we look at the election, I just want to talk about demographics real quick. I thought it was laughable when they were talking about, well, the black male vote is down. And it's like the black male vote has been, you know, 80%+ for years. The real issue with this election was white women. It was the same as in 16, 52% of them voted for Donald Trump. It's been about 52% this time as well. So that was a piece. And then the other big piece that people need to realize is the groups that traditionally turn out for the Democratic Party, they've changed. We can't count on baby boomers anymore. The bigger group is the millennials and the Gen Zs. I'm actually going to the third funeral this year. It's my second aunt, my mom. They're all baby boomers. That can't be where the vote is. So when they talk about this bro vote, the party needs to understand that, whether it's the men's right agreement or a MGTOW, men going their own way. You have a whole segment of the population called passport bros. So the divide between women and men is getting wider in this country. It's not getting closer. So if women really want to see a woman in the White House who's competent running the country, they need to come out and vote for her. It's women not supporting women. And that's like the ugly truth no one wants to talk about in the country.
Robert, man, all of our callers, Sandy, have been added, brought something of value to the conversation. And Robert, Sandy and I are baby boomers. I agree with you. That whole thing about baby boomers, you know, and our numbers are dwindling.
Well, I just think the Democratic Party has a serious, I mean, to say messaging sounds like it's PR only, but focus and messaging problem that they need to address, and they need to make sure that what they focus upon and what they articulate and message is appealing to a broad array of people that transcend gender and age and also geography. We can't be an urban party. We can't be simply a party of color. We can't, you know, there's all these things that the Democratic Party has to be concerned about in terms of having a broad appeal and making sure that they're providing value to a broad range of people, and by that I mean Tom, Dick, and Mary, primarily the party, the people in this country who feel the pinch, which are working people, people who live paycheck to paycheck.
A texter asked, "What about voter suppression? Why are we forgetting voter suppression is real?"
Well, it needs to be quantified. We need to figure out the extent to which people of the 14 or 15 million people who didn't vote, how many of them didn't vote because it was made more difficult for them to vote and they were suppressed. I mean, that's another matter of inquiry, but we shouldn't speculate about it. There's no question that strategically the party that was victorious, part of their strategy has been to squelch votes. And so the vote was apparently reduced, and the question is, was it squelched?
Very well said again. Let's go to Troy from Mount Horeb. Good morning to you, Troy. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I called up because of Julie's call, you know, and she mentioned the angst in Tom's voice. You know, I've said before on this show, I'm just a straight white guy. A lot of Trump's policies aren't going to come after me. But I don't blame Tom for having angst in his voice either, because as well, they're coming after him, and blacks they're coming after, and Latinos they're coming after. So I can't imagine somebody, and women, and I can't imagine somebody saying to a guy like Tom, why do you have angst in your voice, when they're going to be coming after him.
Hey, Troy, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl, Sandy. I just wanted a little quick response to this. Julie, she said that she wasn't going to listen to your show anymore. I think that's what I heard. Enjoy your show. I enjoy both of you fellas, and you right now at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys. And number two, you guys just uplift me in a lot of different ways. I don't know what I'd do without you guys. That's all.
Hey, Don.
Thank you.
Let me say this to you, man. You know, I enjoy you. We enjoy you as well, as we do all of our callers. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. And we're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, when you say the vote is squelched, I am not sure what your...
No, I didn't. No, actually, David, I didn't say the vote was squelched. The caller called in and said they thought that we should be talking about voter suppression. And my answer was, well, we need to do a factual inquiry to find out whether there were voters who felt suppressed or squelched. I didn't assert that there was. There simply was, however, factually, a significant reduction in the number of people voting. And there is no question that the Republican Party's part of their strategy, their announced strategy, is to make voting more complicated and more difficult.
So my question to you, Sandy, is all 50 states, she underperformed in all 50 states, Democrat and Republican.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that it was the result of suppression. I simply responded by saying there needs to be a factual inquiry to find out how much, if any, of the 15 million people who didn't vote might have felt suppressed. But there's no question in my mind that there are some people for whom voting has been made more difficult who probably didn't vote. I don't know how many they are, and I don't know how much they accounted for. But I think the Democratic Party needs to do an analysis to figure out why the results were as they were, as you want to describe them, in all 50 states.
Well, at the end of the day, I feel that if you look at the amount of people that actually switched over, the Democratic Party lost a good chunk of the Hispanic votes. And they made huge inroads, the African-American vote. There was a good chunk that actually went Republican.
Yeah. No,
and
there's there, – you're
people,
right.
When
yep.
people – I mean, so – and I know that in the past, there was – Earl, you made a mockery of people that said, there can't be that many that are going to do that. You know, at the end of the day, now that you see the result, you may have to have reconcile – as to, okay, well, how did that happen? Why did that happen? Because it did happen.
Well, so let me say this to you, David. As an African-American man, the majority of the black vote overwhelmingly went against Donald Trump and Republicans. And yes, there are clearly some African-Americans, mainly what I understand, who supported Donald Trump, religious people, and they believe that abortion is wrong. And so that's why the numbers of blacks who voted more for Donald Trump was not single black males because they're against the Democratic Party. It was an organized effort of black religious leaders who were opposed to abortion. That's just a fact.
The other fact is that the majority of African Americans that did vote for Trump were younger voters. So the older voters...
No. You know, you can't back that up. I know for a fact that the what I was able to garner in the churches and in the conversations I've had with people in the know, it wasn't that they were younger voters, because younger black males don't vote in overwhelming numbers. It was the clergy. It was the black church. And it was the fact that in many instances they're opposed to, just to be frank with you, homosexuality and abortion. So that's where the numbers came from, Dave.
Well, I'm telling you, I read the New York Times.
I don't care what the New York Times says.
I read the demographics as to what that result was. Older African Americans still were like over 90% for Harris, but the younger generation, they were not. It was not as nearly as lopsided, I guess. I'm not disagreeing with you that the majority are still doing what have you, but it's the numbers are changing.
Okay, so let's do this. Calvin has the stats. Calvin, if you please.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so Trump, black men voting for Trump, Donald Trump gained 1%. He went from 19% of black men voted for him in 2020, 20% voted for him in 2024. For black women, 9% voted for Trump in 2020. That fell to 7% in 2024. So I'm not denying that there a demographic shift happened, but it didn't happen in the black community.
Well, where did you get your source from, I guess, is my question.
This is from the local NBC Washington. It's not like, I guess I don't understand why, how that is relevant.
Well, I mean, it's a very quick return on stats, and I'm not sure that the dust has settled enough to actually have accurate stats. This is all based, I would guess, on exit polling that was done by a variety of different groups. NBC did exit polling, and New York Times probably did as well. But there is no database that would give this information on November 7th.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So we needn't argue about what we'll be arguing about is all different kinds of polling data. But there's no question, Trump won the election. And there were some demographic groups that leaned more in his direction than have leaned in his direction in the past, and it has to be examined and understood.
Well, like I said, the polls were, again, you know, they were woefully incorrect once again.
On both sides.
Well, actually, I'm not sure how woefully incorrect they were, because they all operated within the margin of error in their reporting.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. We're still here.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Buddy Minute and an answer to the question, how often should I take my car in to get it serviced? As somebody who's worked on cars and knows a little bit about them, I admit that my instincts here are 100% wrong. I always want to say, oh, I'll just know when it's time. I'll feel it. But that's pretty hard to make a plan or a budget around. And my husband has made an honest car owner out of me by scheduling our maintenance on the calendar according to the book that everybody has and nobody reads. the manual in your glove compartment. Yep, even the motorheads over at CarTalk.com. Remember that old Car Talk radio show that was one of my favorites, you know, with Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers? They say that taking your car in on the schedule dictated by the people who made it is the best way to keep it in shape. So grab that manual. And if you want more tips on saving, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-855-752-4842. Let me read this text, and then we'll get right back. It wasn't the black church. She was in the black church. Black men want to make money, and it's number one, immigration, number two, prison reform. 45 let brothers out of jail, and three, and black men are feeling like Dems are elevating women over them. Don't read traditional media. Get into podcasts and YouTube channels, and you see where all black men trending towards wanting to be more masculine. Okay, let's go to Mike from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Morning, Earl. Sandy. My question's for Sandy, I think. In 64, I was in the service. I had to take an oath to the Constitution. Is he required to take an oath to the Constitution? And if he does, can he overturn the damn thing?
Well, yeah, the presidential oath is to uphold the Constitution. In fact, I think all federal officers are required, including in the military, are required to take that same oath. And I think those people who scratched their head about the January 6th insurrection scratched their head because it appeared that Donald Trump at that point was operating in a quite a contrary direction. But in terms of the notion of him suspending the Constitution, I mean, you can't do anything in the office of the president that isn't permissible under U.S. law. The only time I'm aware of that constitutional rights get suspended is what could be a time of martial law, when certain individual rights can be suspended, and we'll be watching carefully. I hope our military is very concerned and careful about whether they would honor an order that would be the imposition of martial law.
Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what, sir?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I was just wondering if I missed the memo saying it's perfectly fine to intentionally mispronounce Vice President Harris's name. How is this not childish behavior? And have they no shame? And honestly, normally Robert's pretty cool, but 60% of white men chose the GOP nominee, at least. And he's throwing white women under the bus. I mean, these folks, a lot of your callers want to blame anybody but white men today. Like Calvin had said earlier, you know, black voters move by 1%. White men in a much larger block move more. And like Dr. Craig said yesterday, Vice President Harris was burdened by the Biden presidency. Gaza, inflation, or the promise to elevate marginalized communities
which terrifies we, the white people. And without placing blame, she was obviously unable or unwilling to get away from that. As for efforts, you know, suppression efforts, I'd like to ask your callers, what Democratic state leader has been aggressively removing voters from their state rolls? And regarding your conservative callers or regressive callers, no surprise to me that Gary, CJ, and the other ones are now being sore winners and gloating, because that's what these folks are at the core. And I'll close by saying, I also want to say that I always suspected that Julie, allegedly from Jackson, was a plant of some kind. And today's Goodbye World call only reaffirms this.
Thank you, Barry. Well, much, you know, for the call.
One thing we did want to talk about at the beginning of this that we didn't was the fact that right now we have in being demonstrated a difference between the way the two parties, or at least the way the two candidates, have treated transition, okay? Because when Donald Trump was defeated, there was no invitation to his successor to come to the White House. There was no peaceful transition whatsoever. There was no cooperation in the process. And what we have now is, number one, no lawsuits being brought by Democrats to try and upset the election, number one. Number two, we have Kamala Harris already congratulating her opponent. And Joe Biden has already invited him to the White House, and they've already talked about peaceful succession. So I just think that the role model here is pretty clear, and the difference also is quite apparent.
Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy.
Good morning. Well, I just wanted to let you in on a little something I learned from, I'll call him Joe, that I met at a fundraising event about a month ago, who worked with the Defense Department for many decades. And he told me that if Trump initiates a tariff against China, China is going to retaliate against us and hold back all the chips. And I'm not talking potato chips. I'm talking the chips that make our electronics, our appliances, our workout equipment, our Fitbits, our automobiles. They're going to retaliate, hold those chips back from us, and our economy is going to fall to its knees literally overnight.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what?
Yes, good morning, Earl. Yep, thank you. Just want to say I believe that those who dislike Trump are the reason why Trump won on Tuesday. He, back in 2022, was not the favorite, and DeSantis was, you know, really started out strong. But because all the attacks started on Trump at that time, it's changed, and Trump became the leader. And it was because of hatred that was towards Trump.
Hey, Jim, thank you. Thank everybody who made the show go. I mean, we could not do this without you. You know, we're coming here Monday through Friday, and you, the listening audience, we give you your say. It's not about Sandy and I, it's about you. So, you know, keep on doing what you're doing. We're going to keep on giving you the opportunity. Up next, Jane Mattinair, Mattinair on Air, along with Greg Bach. Enjoy the weather. See you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we start the first weekend without a Packer game in a while, but also the first weekend without political ads.
And good morning, everybody. I'm Todd Lawball here at Civic Media News headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. We interrupt this programming for a special report, a special broadcast, as we are going to cover the remarks from President Joe Biden as he addresses the nation on results of the election and also on the transition from himself to the president-elect Donald Trump, who will become the 47th president in January. Again, for those listening and expecting to start with Jane Mattinair soon, you can find her on the streaming platforms of X and what is now, well, it used to be Twitter, now they call it X, and also on our Facebook, and different platforms, YouTube as well. You can go to Civic Media on those platforms, and Jane is going to continue to do her show from 10 o'clock onward. You can also get some updates.